I am Paul Pachter, CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and welcome back to another episode of Breaking Bread. And I am so happy to have back with me Marcel Lees, the director, executive director or director?
Director.
Director of Veterans Services for the Association of for Mental Health and Wellness, an organization that I'm very familiar with. And we had so much to talk about the last time you were on that I just had to bring you back to talk about, you know, the Dwyer Project and all the exciting events that are going on in your organization to support our veterans. So let's begin, because I know what the Dwyer Project is, but people who are tuning into this don't. So what is the Joseph P. Dwyer Project?
Thank you very much, Paul, for having me back. Sure. I appreciate it. Yes, so the Dwyer Project, as we call it, the Joseph Dwyer Veterans Peer Support Project, is a program that is through our New York State Senate funding that started in 2012 and launched in 2013. So almost a decade ago, the Dwyer Project and the family of Joseph Dwyer were introduced to us here in Suffolk County. We were one of the first counties in the state of New York, the first of four, to receive this pilot program and to take it out and really find out why are veterans struggling when they come home? What are the services that they can access? And how can a peer through a lived experience help them through that process? Because it can be very difficult to navigate. So the Joseph Dwyer Project, named by Joe Dwyer. Joe Dwyer was a combat medic that was inspired to join the military after 9/11. I did not know Joe personally, but I know him through his family stories. Mm-hmm. Joe, there's an iconic picture out there that was shot back in 2003, I believe, and that was of Joe with his weapon slung behind his back, carrying a young Iraqi boy to safety who had just been shot, which, by the way, that boy did survive. Joe was somebody that was inspired because he wanted to save lives, not take lives. And unfortunately, he, as so many of our military service members do, came back with post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. And multiple deployments, he came back, he struggled. Unfortunately, he was self-medicating. I do share this for his family in honor of Joe. He did not intentionally take his life, but he did struggle. And his family tells me that our family story is that he asked, he did not want to die. He asked the EMTs to save him. So from that was born the concept of other peers. There wasn't a program like this back then. And so moving forward, we've got the state Senate funding, we launched the Dwyer Project, and we have saved lives through this program. We've gotten veterans a handoff to a community-based resource, clinical or non-clinical, because PTSD is not the only challenge that we see. I want to make it very clear that we understand that not everybody that's coming back from the military is struggling with a mental health issue, but many of them are. Yes. More in our population than our civilian community.
Do you find that the incidence of PTSD increases based upon multiple deployments to service as opposed to I served my 2 years and I'm home?
We're seeing that. We are definitely seeing that because, again, our modern day military warfare is such, you know, the technology is there that we have more veterans, people that are serving are coming home, whereas in previous conflicts they may not have survived the battlefield. So many of them are coming home with this silent wound of post-traumatic stress. Again, a diagnosed or undiagnosed, there's you can definitely tell that somebody is struggling with reintegration, and that's where we work with. That's where we get them. We get them at the point where they're coming in. Unfortunately, we see them when they're at a point where they're falling. Our program is based on not only having that lived experience, but understanding what the resources are and getting them before they fall. Right. That's really the goal. We don't want to have to catch them when they've already struggled and, you know, unfortunately, if they've tried a suicide attempt, because that is prevalent in the population of people that have served that are struggling. So we want to make sure that they know what the resources are and they know how to navigate the systems. And a peer will stand next to them and have their back, and they will know that they are going to help support them through some very, you know, challenging times.
And it has to be very difficult for families whose loved ones come back from multiple deployments and have changed. I recall, I go back to like 1972, I'm dating myself. I had a cousin who served one tour of duty in Vietnam, and I remember when he came home after his deployment, he was not the same person. that left Brooklyn, New York to go to Vietnam. And I know it's tremendously difficult and hard for families to welcome a loved one home, and then within a matter of weeks or months, they notice the change. And thank goodness there's a program like yours that they can turn to. Exactly what kind of services do people get if they go to the Dwyer Project, other than the peer-to-peer support?
Well, and it's very important that you just shared about the family piece, because mm-hmm. many of the veterans that we get that come back are not actively seeking out the resources because they don't see anything. They're not seeing the problem that they're having at that time. Mm-hmm. It's the loved ones. It's the family. It's the spouse that's seeing their service member come back, and they've changed, dramatically changed, and there's probably maybe an increase in alcohol use, or maybe some illicit substance use, right. Or they just are not able to stay on task and focused with their employment. So those are the signs that the family member is seeing, and so they know through our years of experience with the Dwyer Project is that we are here open to help them too. So we don't mm-hmm. just help the veteran, we have to help the families, because the families are the one that are going to be the support system throughout their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And the families, unfortunately we have 20 years of a sustained conflict, almost 21 years of mm-hmm. of this war that we're in right now, and children have grown up with their families,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and many of them don't survive the family dynamic, and there's a lot of divorce, a lot of separation, mm-hmm. and that's creating a whole other subset of issues that we have to deal with. So families and the service members that come into our program, they're going to get an introduction, a basic introduction, and it's going to be more of a listening experience. It's not going to be a lot of direction, a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. We are peer mentors, but we really do a lot of active listening, and we have to hear where they're coming from. So then we can take the skill sets that we have, that we've been trained through the Dwyer Project training mm-hmm. program that we have, so that they can now go through the menu of services in the community, such as Long Island Cares. We do so many referrals to Long Island Cares because we know that food insecurity, especially during the pandemic, mm-hmm. has been a real concern in our population. So we'll do the handoff to a resource like yours, a resource at the VA, mm-hmm. other community-based services. VetWorks has been wonderful with helping build resumes mm-hmm. for veterans, because many of them, when they come back, you could have a 10-year career in the military, and you come back and you look at your skill sets from what they call your MOS or AFSC, Air mm-hmm. Force term, and they don't know how to translate it
right.
into a skill set. Yeah. And that's where programs like that really do help acclimate them to get them the jobs for the skill sets. Because if you're in the military for 10 years, you probably have leadership background. You probably
sure.
have a lot of leadership. You have organizational skills, attention to detail, and all of these things, they don't know how to translate them.
Mm-hmm.
People think, oh, well, you were in the military, so you want to be a police officer or a
absolutely.
Fireman.
Yeah, that security job. Just
job.
Because you carried an AR-15
exactly.
in Afghanistan doesn't mean you want to carry it when you get home.
Exactly.
So that's always something that I always found fascinating when you speak to people about veterans and employment. What kind of any events going on to support the Dwyer Project? Any special programs coming up that we should know about?
We do partner with our other agencies to bring special events. We just had our annual Day of Wellness, which mm-hmm. is a huge that's our big day. It's always the first or second weekend in June. On a Saturday, and we will announce it again in January for 2023 because we do have plan on having it. This mm-hmm. year's Day of Wellness, we had over 150 people mm-hmm. at Camp Aquatic in Santa Mariches come and experience holistic disciplines of wellness, because we want to go beyond the traditional
right.
medical and mental health programs to tailor it to what the veterans' needs are. And let the families experience, so they know that there's Reiki and massage therapy. We are partnered with Veterans Yoga Project. They have a mm-hmm. huge program, and all these programs are free of charge to the veteran.
That's wonderful, and yet it's so important that families know that these resources are out there.
Yes.
That's why there are folks like you to tell us what's out there that we could take advantage of.
And one of our strongest partnerships that we've really developed in the last few years is with the Warrior Ranch Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior Ranch does equine therapy out of their ranch in Calverton. They joined us for the Day of Wellness, and we work with them on their wellness retreats. So veterans and first responders can go there and learn about the basics of the equine therapy. I've experienced it, and it's very powerful. The energy that you get, and knowing that these horses have been rescued, and now they're rescuing the veterans and the first responders. It's just a bond and a relationship. There's nothing else like it.
You're absolutely right, because there's a communication with a horse. I've seen it. I was over at a pal of mine a few years back.
Yes.
And just standing there next to the horse and letting the horse lead the discussion or lead the way you're moving. And if the horse doesn't like it, it hits you under the arm. And it's like, he's really listening to me?
They get it.
And it's something beautiful to see. From your vantage point, and you are our expert, what more does our region need in order to really effectively service veterans? I mean, we speak about employment, we speak about housing, we speak about health and mental health services. Do you see any gaps right now in the system that we should be addressing?
I think one of the things that we've found in the last decade with working in the community is understanding the veteran experience for somebody that has not served in the military. Mm-hmm. And so we've been asked by PSE&G and other larger organizations to come in and do cultural competency trainings so that they can understand how to engage, employ, and sustain a veteran that's serving in their or working in their employ. We've worked with Suffolk County Library Cooperative to do presentations to their staff throughout the county. Many veterans congregate, especially those that are housing insecure or those that might not, you know, just not have any place to go during the day to hang out. Mm-hmm. We're teaching them about the signs and symptoms of a veteran that comes in that might be struggling and how they can engage them through understanding language. Language in our culture is so important. Understanding acronyms, understanding the myths about veterans that have served. We're not all Army. You know, there's five branches of service. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's six now with the Space Force. But we have five branches of service, and we all have different uniforms and different cultures, although we have a same connection mm-hmm. of that understanding of serving. So knowing that when you approach me and you say, oh, you were in the Army because I was in the Air Force, I'm mm-hmm. like, well, it's a little bit different. The language is different. But understanding what that is, and that not everybody that came home is home and that is broken, but they do need to know that they are supported in the community. So if we can get the word out, and if anybody that's watching this wants to learn more about the Dwyer Project, mm-hmm. they can go on our website. I know you're going to list it. And we would love to have an opportunity to talk about a cultural training and how you can learn more about resources, community, and repurposing these veterans that have served that come home and they need
the cultural training can be provided to businesses as well as community organizations and groups.
Absolutely, yes.
And of course other nonprofit organizations that might be serving veterans really would benefit from the veterans culture and understanding it. I know everybody has a great desire to serve our veterans, but not everyone can because there are prerequisites in place. Mm-hmm. But for me, the best prerequisite is to go and talk to you, because I find talking to you, I learn so much more than I knew in the beginning of the conversation than when we end the conversation. And sadly, I've got to end the conversation. We've run out of time. Marcellis, thank you so much. Two weeks in a row to be my guest, I'm thrilled, I'm honored. I love being in your presence. And if you like what you see, please consider logging on to YouTube, subscribing to our channel, and you can see all the episodes load up periodically. And also remember our sponsor, CardWorks, your financial institution and support services right here in Woodbury, Long Island. I thank them for their generous support of Breaking Bread, and I thank you for watching. This is Paul Pachter, CEO at Long Island Cares. See you next time.